Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older.
Podcast Network, Cousin Chop, coming to you on a Tuesday morning. Yeah, Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, a degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bry, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
How we doing, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, Brother Bry, I'm sorry. Monday was my day. You guys could point and laugh and make fun of the Mets and their atrocious ways and how 101 team win blew it in 72 hours. And now we have your Raiders to point to. Not as glorious, not as big a fall from grace, but you lose that game. A tough one. They covered, though. I told you they'd cover. Parlay Kid, we told them they would cover. What's wrong with Bry?
Ben nailed that game. Nailed it, Sal. Nailed that game. We said, right? Probably weren't going to win, but they would cover.
Well, 17-0, they're up. They lose 30-29. A million controversial moments, but let's get your immediate thoughts, Bry. Well, I know you were despondent last night.
Yeah, I mean, I sent you guys a text, I don't know, in the third quarter, early fourth or late third, that the likelihood is that the Raiders would screw up a two-point conversion or not get it on a fourth down, which both happened at the end of that game.
Mm-hmm.
But as a Raider fan, I've been used to this for a long time. This is very typical. I had a little glimmer of hope up 17-0. I kind of knew when they kicked that field goal going into half that we were in trouble. But I will say, and I've said, you know, I said this on a text chain to you, Sal, yesterday with Trevor, I hate the Chiefs fans. There is nobody worse in sports than the Chiefs fans. I don't know if it was ESPN. I don't know what ESPN was doing last night. The mic on that crowd. Maybe was that the loudest crowd of all time, or was that I had to put my volume at like 30.
Passer, we'll get into it, but they booed every single play, even when the Chiefs had the ball. Right. They booed, like the Chiefs would get 9 yards to whoever Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they would boo.
Have they done that recently in all sports? Because I noticed too in the Mets Padres game, it sounded like there was loud booing throughout the whole course of the game. Like I didn't know what was going on, but yeah, the Chiefs fans look. Granted, I will say, terrible roughing the passer call on Jones. But as a Raider fan, and you guys know this as a Cowboys fan, we get screwed all the time with bad penalties. So what?
They made up for it.
You had one penalty
in
the
second.
Right.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah.
A terrible call. But now all of the talk shows, all they are doing is talking about the roughing the passer, roughing the passer, roughing the passer. How about the inconsequential, like, the holding call on a field goal, which, by the way,
holding.
The last time, at least what I saw on Twitter, the last time that was called in the NFL, a holding on a field goal, and again, I mean, this might not be right, but what I saw was 2015 was the last time that was called, and it was called against the Raiders. And that, I don't care. But then you have Chiefs fans on Twitter defending that. Come on. I mean, it's garbage. There's plenty of stuff. So I don't know. I was just so annoyed.
We can go over these one by one, because like I said, there's about 35 controversial moments. Harry, let's start with the roughing the passer. I know you don't want to talk about it. We should, because it's funny. Like when someone like Aikman goes nuts and says, we got to take the dresses off, which is he's getting a lot of crap for that today. But I don't know. Like when my son who plays defensive end in high school turns and says, wait, isn't that how you tackle a guy? It's like, yeah, that's how you tackle a guy. Now, Harry, what were your thoughts?
I listened to Jones's interview after the game. He's like, I'm a 345 pound guy.
Yeah.
What
it's
am
fat
I
shaming.
Supposed to do?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? That was just such a terrible call, but the holding on the defense, on the Raiders, field.
I want to take it one by one.
Yeah.
Seven.
Yeah. Yeah. Just right. That was so bad.
Yes.
But it was, I mentioned in a text chain with us, I said, Bry, I mean, the Raiders never get calls like that. They just never do. So you, at that point, you had to be like, all right, well, we definitely got one there. So let's keep going with this Carr and Adams, and let's keep rolling on the offense. We got a great call here.
There's two more, and they did capitalize. I mean, they kept the ball, you know, they kept the ball, right, which is the big one. Parley kid, the one thing that people are saying is the ball was stripped before the infraction, if there's even an infraction. I think it was close. I think he had the ball before they hit the turf for sure, but I don't know what to do with this, putting all your weight on a guy. I'm not sure if he leaves his feet, you're putting all your weight on him too. I'm not sure what you're supposed to do if you're a big guy trying to make a tackle in this league.
Well, I know the way to fix this is just make every play reviewable. You get certain challenges and you could challenge that call.
But I didn't think they'd overturn it with the way the league is protecting the quarterbacks.
I think they would have overturned that call. I think they would have had to have overturned that call. They would have had to overturn
5 hour games. But then there's going to be 5 hour games.
Harry, you don't change the amount of challenges. You keep the amount of challenges, but you make any call challengeable, especially these ones that can change games. Pass interference calls or non-pass interference calls. And those type of calls, you should be able to challenge those calls. That's it.
I don't know what they honestly, because I think there's a new narrative sent down to the referees as much as we want to blame them. Like, hey, call anything's close with this concussion thing. We saw the ridiculous sack of Brady that was called. Like, I kind of think that it's even beyond the officials. I think they're getting word from up above.
But if they had challenged that Brady call, it probably would have gotten overturned. I don't think those
based on the rule. Yes,
in real time, those things look worse. Yeah, in real time, you got to be able to review those calls. It's as simple as that. You get your challenges if you want to save them for plays like that. That's how it should be. That play would have 100% have been overturned just for the fact that Carr was not even possession of the Mahomes. Yeah. Well, it's not in possession of the ball.
Carr didn't have it.
You might get to this again in another point, but I will, like yesterday too, right?
Take a look at this. This is a guy I know from Brooklyn. Can you see his name? Chris Jones is calling me. Raps in the middle of the street. It's a friend of mine from Brooklyn. But anyway, Chris Jones is who we're talking about. That's very strange.
A friend of yours that craps in the middle of the street is very common. It seems like that seems like something we do. Yeah. But you know, the NFL, like even in yesterday's game though, they have been doing this where the officials get together and they have this like quick expedited review. Like yesterday on the intentional grounding on Carr. Mm-hmm. They got together for a good 30 seconds and the official stood there waiting for somebody up top to tell him that was grounding. Now, couldn't they do that? Why couldn't they do that like on that roughing the passer or on something else? Have somebody just quickly say, hey, guys, just pick up the flag. Same with the holding at the end of the game. Get together quickly and be like, we really want to call this? I mean, there's just too many. I mean, they were terrible.
The Raiders get it back, I mean, you talked about the whole defensive holding on a field goal attempt. Outrageous. It allows the Chiefs to score. I think Kelce got that touch. He got all the touchdowns. Yep. Right? By the way, 4 touchdowns, 25 yards. We're never going to see that from a receiver or a pass catcher again. You might see it from a running back, but is that the fewest amount of yards for a 4 touchdown performance? It's got to be.
From a receiver standpoint, yeah.
Insanity. It crushed and MVP. A lot of MVP. Fantasy. That's right. Harry Adam for the MVP. 25 yards. 25 yards
all
a game.
All my guys are MVPs this year. All of them.
Really are. I don't know how you're doing it. We'll let you brag a little in a minute. Anyway, so that was terrible for sure. What else do we want to say?
Can I just say about the holding on the defense? On that play, I mean, that to call that, and Brian, like you said, maybe it was last one was, what did you say, 2015? It has to be beyond egregious to make call.
Yes,
that wasn't even anything, and
it's
got to
be
the play.
Personal foul, it's got to be a face mask
ridiculous.
For them to call.
Worse than the Chris Jones call.
Way worse, Darren, because of the circumstances and that it has to be beyond egregious. It wasn't even close. And again, Andy Reid, whatever. I don't know. It always happens where the Chiefs have this stuff happen to them.
There was an offside call that prevented them from going to the Super Bowl not long ago.
Offsides.
Okay. Well, holding is holding, but I mean, honestly, like, I don't
holding
know.
Holding isn't really holding.
I'll just say the idea that a guy is holding when his job is to get to the ball,
right.
Who cares? Yeah, let everybody exactly. hold on defense. They're not going forward to kick the ball. So,
right.
Right. But anyway, all right. So there's that. There's the Adams catch now. And if you watch more footage, and Bri, you sent this to us at about, 3:45 in the morning, but you can have control with the ball moving. You just can, right? Parlay kid. And obviously, if he catches that, they're in field goal range, and Carlson's as good as anybody else, and they nail it there. I don't know. I don't think I'm getting too ahead of my skis there. But Adams right there catches it. It moves a little bit. He's got his toe down. And the fact that they called it a catch on the field and overturned it, I think that's wrong. That's another bad call.
Correct.
Well, yeah. When I sent you that video yesterday, and actually when I was talking to some of my other Raider friends yesterday, at first I was like, all right, they're going to overturn this. It's going to be no catch. And it's funny because I sent you guys the video, and it's like, if you look at it, the video one time, I can see somebody say, oh, he might bobble it initially. But if you just keep watching the video, it's almost like his hand just turns with the ball, but the ball never moves. But when he quickly grabs it, it has like the illusion that he lost control of the ball.
Yeah.
So because of that, I do, as I looked at that further, I'm like, I don't really know how they overturned that based on the call in the field. Now, well, I can see people arguing both ways, but still.
If they say no catch, and then they stick with that.
Right.
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 If they say it's a catch, you're going to microanalyze it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So those are the officiating calls. What else do we want to look at? Oh, Chiefs go for it up two. They go for two up seven with 7.5 left. Parlay kid, Todd Furman and I scream at each other about this for ages.
That's the Ben Kelly call, Harry.
Yeah. I was thinking of that happening beforehand.
You put him away, basically. Right.
Right.
Yeah, but Harry,
you roll.
You didn't like that the last time that happened.
It was a little different scenario.
The difference last time was either going up 16 or 17, I think.
Well, that's
kind of the same thing, but you're going up three possessions, right? So kind of the same thing, and you were against it. So I personally like that aggressiveness right there. I like what they did. So
I'm normally on the go up eight and just let the other team get the 2-point conversion side. But how many podcasts in a row have I talked about this? Inside the 5-yard line, I don't trust anyone more than Mahomes. So get it done. Cool. And that's why going up nine, I think, was the right decision. But again, these are like 52, 48, 53, 47. We don't have to go crazy on it.
Solid.
No, right. But we'll almost spend 20 minutes on it. Go ahead.
You almost get a, but 16, 17, Darren, is like you still, 17, you got to get three scores. I mean, to go up nine, and if you don't make it, you're still up seven. It's like a free roll, Sal, once you're at seven to try to make it nine, and now you're up two scores. And then if you don't make it, it's still seven. And so if the Raiders score, they're probably going to kick their point.
I just don't think they went for two and they don't make it. But yeah, but this is not Sam Darnold going for two up seven with 7:25. So every situation depends on how many picture cards have you come out in a row, whether or not you're going to hit on 12 or not. You know what I mean? Like, you got to take a look at what's going on around you. So I don't kill Andy Reid for that. Raiders going for two down one with 3 minutes left, three plus left. I loved it. And I actually think it worked out for them. They should have spiked the ball, Bri. They should have spiked the ball. The only chance you have is being down one in that situation. Because if you're tied or up one, Mahomes is going to pass on three downs. He's not going to run, right? Mm-hmm. So didn't you feel better that you could maybe get the ball back with McKinnon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire trying to run this clock out? I didn't mind that at all.
Well, it's funny, yeah, because when you said that, because I think there was like 4.5 minutes left. So in that situation with that amount of time, normally I would kick the extra point. But again, I was kind of like, as a Raider fan, knowing this Chiefs team, it's like, all right, well, the odds of the Chiefs going down the field, running the whole clock and getting a game-winning field goal is like 95%, I felt.
Right. In that exactly. As so, erratic as that kicker was, you know, say, Mahomes was going to get that.
I will say, if they go up, you know, now if you go up one there, I totally hear what you're saying. I think they kind of lucked out in the situation that they were in at the end of the game.
Yeah.
But if you go,
I don't think you got the ball back. Well, if you go up
one,
kick the extra point or go up one.
If you go up one, you got to get a turnover, right? If you go up one, mm-hmm. That's the one thing, right? It's like, all right, yep. Well, maybe now we have a shot at, you know, getting a fumble or an interception there. That's the only thing. Right. But yeah, they lucked out as it turned out. And then they had the chance. They had the chance to win, and they should have won there at the end.
Yeah. All right. I don't know what I mean. We haven't even mentioned Josh Jacobs, who was outstanding. The only thing we might say is
so maybe good last night.
Parley Kid, he hasn't run this way since Alabama, but almost 8 yards a carry, 150 yards, 193 total, definitely in contract year mode. Again, Adams caught the ball, so they did what they needed to. But Bri, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, can't you give it to the best player on the field last night?
Oh, I know. Yeah, well, that was the thing. They lucked out with that a few times too, right? Because it seemed like even when they did give it to them on short yardage, it was kind of easy going there.
Well, the defense is gassed. They have to be more gassed than they were in the first quarter when he's running
you're,
it up.
You're talking specifically late, whether or not they should have, on that last play, whether they should have run it. Yeah, of course, because then they had 10. I mean, there was, 40-something seconds left. They still could have spiked it.
Yeah, he just did it like 12 more yards.
I mean, the only run is probably on that 2-point conversion. I think the way he ran into that line, he should have probably been able to score, get the 2-point there. The way he just kind of went down a little earlier. But he was fantastic. He was, that's how he looked. That's how he looked in his rookie year for them. Has not looked at that like that the last 2 years at all.
That's what stinks. I mean, you're 1-4, and you're as good as some 4-1 teams. Parley Kid, they're as good as the Cowboys. They're as good as the Giants, this Raiders team. They're not going to win the division, like I said, but 1-4. Now a bye, and Adams might be suspended for shoving a camera guy. I don't know. I saw point of view shot where it looked like the guy just got in his way. He wasn't paying attention and just put his arms out, and then he went flying, and now this guy's pressing charges, and he's completely fine. But that's rough. That's rough to be 1-4 for you.
I'll say this. What is that? That's probably that 4 losses by a total of 14 points. That the completion that wasn't the completion to Adams, again, in our fantasy league, real quick, 98-97, I lose by one, but I have Carr and Adams, so I don't get that. And all this craziness, Adams afterwards, there's 2 people to blame for all this craziness, what happened last night. It's Buck and Aikman.
You're out of your mind.
Buck and Aikman. Only this crazy stuff happens with them on Monday night, Darren.
You're right. That Thursday game wasn't crazy at all. Or were they in that game too, Harry? Were they calling the Thursday game too?
Sunday night game was crazy.
That close game, that was Buck and Aikman also Sunday night, right? Do your research. I want to hear. No, by the way, it was 99-98, not 98-97. People are going to be hanging on by a thread.
That's a killer.
Wanting to know the final score. Harry, I will say, good job by you, Devontae Adams. First touchdown, 7-1. Keeps us alive.
Good job, Harry.
He's the only one hitting with these. Good Lord.
Bombs away with Carr.
Contest winners, prop quiz, Patrick McKiernan, 8 right. He gets a gold cap to pick him. Goes to Rick Catabona, 12 right, $100.
Who was that?
Bri, you were 10-4-1 on the week.
You know, the thing that Harry sucked is I was 8-1-1. I thought I was going to have a real good shot. Damn it.
Well, you took the Chiefs. Why'd you go and do that? You shouldn't have done that.
Marty's hot streak is over, by the way. Marty's
6-8-1. So you and Hench gain on him. A few of us gain on him. So there you go. So good stuff going there. I do want to, someone sent us a gold cap. Who was that, Mikey Meatballs? Matt Maraconda. That's not the guy who won, is it? Matt Maraconda? No.
Yeah, he won.
Oh, yeah. Won. But that's not the guy that won this week. Rick Catabona. Oh, those are different people. Anyway, he's Matt Maraconda is he's taking the gold cap all over. I should post some of these. The University of Buffalo. He's taking this to the golf course, Grover Cleveland Golf Course in Erie County. Get yourself a gold cap. Nice. Doesn't have to stay on your hat. You can bring it all over and take pictures. Do it up. All right, let's take a quick break to talk about Caesars. All right, listen, whatever you're betting, teasers, over, under, do it through Caesars because they have all the names. Caesar himself, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist, and now yours truly. Yes, Against All Odds is now a proud member of the Caesars Empire. And your very first bet, it's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CZRFULL, and go full Caesars this season. Oh, you must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Visit CONNEXONTARIO.CA or call 1-866-531-2600 or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. All right, we'll step out for a second, then Major League Baseball.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, we're recording during the Braves-Phillies game. I'm taking the Phillies for the series. You're going to think that this is a joke, but I told Mikey Meatballs, I'm like, hey, we got to get these picks out there on a graphic so they don't know we're cheating. The Phillies are up 4-1 in the fourth inning.
Yep.
I have them plus 174 for the series. Braves won 11-8 against them this year, but I like where I didn't like Ranger Suarez in the last series. I feel like it should be Nolan Wheeler, and they could take care of business, and they did. Against the Cardinals. Now I like this Suarez. Five starts, looking good today. During the regular season, 3.21 ERA against the Braves in 28 innings. They may see him twice. Philly's weakness is like their fielding. Doesn't really matter because the Braves' power offense is a difference. It's kind of a good matchup for them in terms of what they are deficient in. Spencer Strider's oblique injury might mean Kyle Wright and Charlie Morton. I think it evens things up a little bit. I'm like Phillies plus 174. Who did anyone else pick
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I had the Phillies too.
Yeah. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I had the Phillies against the Cardinals too. And, you know, when I went through all of the series here, I didn't like a lot of the underdogs, but the plus 174 for the Phillies caught my eye. You know, with division rivals here, you know, these teams, I mean, they played each other 19 times. I know the Braves won 11 of 8. But mm-hmm. It's funny, like you were saying with Suarez, I mean, we saw Suarez live, right, against the Mets, shut down the Mets.
Yep.
But I thought, you know, the thing is, like you were saying with Strider being injured, if you get past this game one, I mean, we gave these picks before game one, but you get past game one, now all of a sudden the Phillies have the pitching advantage, right?
Yeah.
And again, mm-hmm. you know, the Braves lineup is very good, but they are home run heavy. So that, you know, that could play into this, the strength of these Phillies pitchers, but the 170, I was thinking, you know what, you know, they might struggle game one, the Braves. And then once you get to two and three, it's kind of a crapshoot with these rotations. So plus 174 was just really jumped out at me. I would have never taken the Braves at minus two something.
All right, Parley Kid, Yankees, Guardians. Everyone can weigh in here. Yankees minus 220, Guardians plus 180 for the series. I'm just gonna make a spite pick here. I know the Yankees won 5 out of 6. I'm going Cleveland. I like their pitching and I like the small ball, and I think that does well second week in October. They struck out less often than any other team in the regular season at 18%. And I think a guy like Gerrit Cole is going to have, obviously it's a long, it's a tall task asking them to stay away from the long ball. But I think the Guardians force your Yankees parlay kid into some boring, boring games that they're not used to. I'm taking the plus 180 again, just to be able to root for it. But you like the Yankees in a shortish series.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Yankees to win this series 3-1 at plus 300, Sal. No, I think this is Cole's time. I think he's going to rise to the occasion this series, Sal. I think in game one tonight, I think he's got some nice weather. I know he doesn't really love the cold weather. It'll be a little crisp, but, you know, we're hitting about 70 degrees right now here. It should be good pitching weather for him. This Yankees team is 5-1 against the Guardians so far this year. Again, a lot of those games so early in the season, it's hard to really judge the impact that those games had. But look, the Yankees more than doubled their output of home runs this year. Actually, I think exactly twice as many. So sorry, 254 for the Yankees, 127 for the Guardians. Playoffs normally come down to slugging the ball and hitting some home runs. I think the Yankees are just going to do it more. I think Stanton was very good in the playoffs last year. I think he helps out. I think he contributes here in this series. Yankees slug their way to a 3-1 series victory here, where a lot of the games will be close, but the Guardians do have a great bullpen. That's what scares me the most. We know their starting pitching is very good too, but their bullpen is probably the one area which is better than the Yankees bullpen.
They
right
just
now.
Added Aroldis Chapman. I'm saying the Guardians.
Well, they could have. I wish they would add Aroldis Chapman to their bullpen. That'd be fantastic, Sal. They could have him. They could certainly have him. Yankees win 3-1, Sal. You know, their mission will still not be complete at the
plus
end of the
300
series.
For three plus out of 300. Four for the Yankees. I'm looking at Caesars. I wish you could bet. Can you bet Gerrit Cole's spin rate? Can you over 3,700?
It's amazing. It's amazing because, you know, look, well, just look at the spin rates for the Mets pitchers in the series, you know?
Listen.
One thing they don't talk about, Musgrove.
I just want an answer.
Spin rate was actually higher after they checked him the other night.
That's fine, but it was pretty high when they checked him too. And compared to, look, if everybody in the ESPN booth, Eduardo Perez and Cohn and I think Buster Olney, if they were making a big deal out of it, like it's not like cheating hasn't happened in 30 years. Like Cole was busted for this and everybody within the year. So I don't blame Buck for trying to shake things up right or wrong. I really don't.
Well, I also think these guys save a little bit until these big games. These guys aren't probably full force all year. Big game. Velocity's up. Sprint rate is up. I would suppose. I'm not a baseball analytics nerd, but I would think that that's the way it goes.
I don't know. 5%. 5% is that's a significant number. I mean, I could say 1%, but 5%. You're not throwing 5%. You're not throwing 2 or 3 miles an hour higher than you would in a regular season. I don't know. I just don't know that again. What, Harry? What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, Sal, I'm on the same line as you a little bit, Sal. I'm taking the plus 1.5 for the series at minus 150 with the Guardians. And today's pick on my extra points pick is Guardians plus 1.5 runs. In my extra points video, I call out Parlay Kid. I call out Brother Bry saying that just don't trust Gerrit Cole in this spot. We'll see what happens tonight, but I'm going to take the plus 1.5 tonight and plus 1.5 for the series.
Are you guys worried? Because Harry has been red hot. Harry went through all his numbers yesterday. Go ahead, Harry. Give everybody a taste. What's going on with you this year?
Since we are putting up our picks before the games start, documented on Twitter, where we don't give out Thursday's picks, but we do over the last year and 5 weeks, we are giving out all our NFL picks by the spread. And at this point, I did the math yesterday.
Why don't we have a whole preamble? Just tell us your numbers.
58% in the NFL by the spread the last year and in this 5 weeks into the season.
Okay. All right, good. Well, this is baseball, though.
And you know what I've challenged Harry to do, Sal, right?
Yeah.
That's boring, though.
But put money on every game, that's Harry. Boring. You're winning. Yeah. You've been on. This is now. This isn't a fluke. Start putting money on every game.
Yeah.
Every game. Bet every single game. How is that boring?
Who doesn't trust himself?
Yeah. I mean,
well, the week that happens, I'll collapse.
Well, you know what? He must think paying the queen is boring too. That's an inside joke. But you guys did. All right.
No one's as bad as Brian on the Queen.
All right. Astros, Mariners. Astros minus 240. All these lines are about the same. Astros minus 240. Mariners 2-1. I'm going Astros in 4 plus 260. Yep. They beat the Mariners 12 out of 19. They've made it to the ALCS in each of their last 5 postseason appearances. That's the one thing about baseball. I don't think there's a layoff that's too long, right? I mean, Dodgers made it 5 of the last 6. Astros made it last 5. So they're going to go with Verlander. He went 5-1 against the Mariners this year. Yep. Is that right?
Yep. Six,
over 41
six
innings. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Mariners bullpen is tough. Probably the best in the league, but I don't think it'll matter. Altuve, Bregman, Tucker, all ballers. Ryan Presley's pretty good though for the Astros too. Sub 3 ERA with the 33 saves. Yeah. Verlander, Framber Valdez, 1-2.
Colors.
I think they're looking good, and they win this in 4. Brother Brian, what do you like?
Yeah, I like the – I'm going to take something – well, what am I doing here? Something similar, because you have the in 4. I'm taking the Astros minus 1.5 at plus 105. So you could win 3-0, or you could win 3-1 in the series. I know Harry's on the Mariners. But there's, you know, and there are some very good pitching matchups here. But like you were just saying, I mean, it is weird how Verlander's gone 6 times against this team, dominated in 5 of them. All but one of them he dominated. And he just coming back off his injury, he's been very good his last 3 starts too. But the Astros, you know, they do have some good pitching depth, right? If you get to a game 4 after Valdez and McCullers, you still have other good starters that you could use in this rotation, right? You have other good pitchers.
Garcia.
There's a lot. I mean, they easily can go 5 deep here. And then plus their lineup is significantly, significantly better. So I you know, you're saying they won this 12 of 19 in this series. I do think they take control here and they win. I like the same thing, that they win 3-1, but I'm going to go minus 1.5.
41 innings against one team is... that's a spectacular number. Like, a lot of relievers don't get that in a year, right?
Yep.
Parley Kid, you're with me exactly on the 3-1?
I am, Sal. I'm with you on this. The Astros have dominated the Mariners over the last 3 or 4 years. You know, this year they're 12-7. But I know you can't really go back. I'm kind of pulling what a Harry might do going back 3 or 4 years here. But 48-19 against them over the last 4 seasons. They kind of own the Mariners. I think the Mariners might be... in some cases, just happy to be here, you could say. Right. Nice series for them over the Blue Jays. But like Brian said, the pitching depth, the hitting depth, this will catch up to them in this series. I would love to see the Astros lose. Believe me, I would love it. But they're the better team. They're the better team this year. I'm riding with the better team. I think the Mariners have enough pitching to sneak out a win here. Astros winning 4.
I wouldn't love it as much. I have a lot of money tied to the Astros. But go ahead, Harry, what were you doing?
I was going to say on the graphic, I came up with the Mariners to win the series 3-1 at 6-1. And Darren, I think I got to say, I think what you just said, the Mariners just happy to be there, is worse than you saying LSU starting at 12 o'clock Eastern is going to benefit them. I think that, no, this team is in the playoffs for the first time in like 21 years. They win it. They make the playoffs on a walk-off homer. They smoke. Now, listen, they've beaten now Toronto 7 straight times, and now they're in against the Astros. Maybe they're in over their heads, but they're riding high. I love Suarez. Haniger hit a couple big hits in that series. France is a 300 hitter. I'm riding with the Mariners.
Wow. All right. Well, what do you get for that? Plus 2-1 odds? For the
6-1. 6-1. Well, 2-1.
He's got it exact. 2-1.
But 6-1 at 3-1 Mariners.
All right. Well, I didn't hear. No one heard 3-1. All right. So they take 3 of the first 4. I don't know. I don't see it. Let's go. This is the other big one. Dodgers, Padres, minus 225. Pods plus 190. I got Dodgers in 4. Also 3-1 odds. They smoked them this year. 14-5. The Padres rotation is all screwed up now, right? Melvin has to go with Sean Manaea. Yep. Can't go with Snell. Can't go with Darvish yet. And if the Dodgers take the first two at home, I think they're in good shape. Kershaw, we know about his postseason ups and downs, but you know, finished on a high, almost had a no hitter, 9 strikeout, 1 hitter against the Rockies. Urias, who goes tonight, tossed a 6 shutout innings against the Padres a couple of weeks ago. I'm live betting every Dodger batter against Musgrove. That's just how it is. Like, to me, the Dodgers have Freeman. Like, Freeman was what got in their way of going to the World Series last year. And now he's on their team. He's been excellent. Like, in 85 playoff at-bats, 330, 15 runs, 7 home runs, 17 RBIs. I'm liking this Dodger team. I think they do it in 4, maybe 3, but I'll take 4, 3, 2, 1. Parlay Kid, who do you like in this?
I'm on the Dodgers at 3-1. So I got all these series here at 3-1. I think I hit one of them at least and break even here. Like you said, they've kind of owned them this year. The Dodgers have over the Padres. While the Padres might, you know, a few of their starting pitchers have been hot as of late. The Dodgers, as we know, Sal, they're just the most dominant team in baseball. I don't see the Padres being able to stay with them. I think the Dodgers get game one. In a good pitching matchup for them, and then they kind of cruise this series. Maybe Darvish gets one of those games for the Padres, and that's going to probably be about it. The Dodgers are too good to lose this series. Although it is an intriguing series from the fact that I would think it's got to be some type of rivalry there, a little bit of a rivalry. So
sure, this is the biggest one. Unlike
City Field the other night, that those stadiums are sold out.
Please. By the way, I don't know what happened there, but Yarvish said his ears were burning, and not just from the icy hot that the illegal stuff they put on it, but he said from the fans it was so loud. But I don't know why. I don't know why. Well, maybe we're just so used to disappointment. But anyway, there you go. So Harry, what are you taking this series?
I do like the Padres plus 1.5 games at -150. I think they got a bit of swagger from winning that Mets series, even without Fernando Tatis. They played LA in the divisional series 2 years ago and got swept. I think they'll remember that. Pitching wise, Darren, you mentioned Darvish.
You think they'll remember that?
They have that in the back of their heads, and you know what I'm talking about. Since September 1st, Darvish has an ERA of under 2. And they went out and got Juan Soto and actually Josh Bell, who's really helping the team out too, for a situation like this. I think they play tough. I think when Darvish starts, he gets a win. I think they win another one. I think this goes, I think Padres cover the 1.5 run.
Harry, since you mentioned
one and
Soto,
a half games, you're saying.
Here in New York, if Soto came over to the Yankees or the Mets and they gave up what they gave up to get him, and he had in 52 games, 236 with 6 home runs for the Mets and Yankees. This guy would have been run out of town already. He better step up this series.
Did hit 333 against. Honestly, 333 in the series against
any
the Mets.
Long-term deals. This guy, people got to start. Well, might have to question it a little bit about how much they want to give this guy long-term. Because he was asking for a ridiculous amount of money.
Or
for
anybody,
them to have any chance, he has to have a big series.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what they're worried about, Brian, him getting hot in this series. But you like the Dodgers, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like the Dodgers here. You know, you were talking about it in terms of just their lineup. I mean, they've dominated the Padres. They've dominated all season.
They're a great, you take a -1.5, right? They do. How many of their wins were like 60?
Yeah, they were fantastic and against the run line. But I'd be a little bit worried in a playoff series on the run lines, but yeah, the lineup, the pitching, you know, Urias, like their pitchers have overachieved. I mean, that would be the one thing that would be a little bit nervous, maybe Kershaw going in game two. They've just had the Padres number. They dominated the series. I would take them at -1.5.
All right, there you go. That's our baseball playoffs. The Phillies remain 4-1 still. 6-1. Oh, wow. Oh, look at this. Wow.
And it's going to go over.
It's a series. I can't root for either team. I know you guys have that. How can
Schwarber
I root for either team?
Schwarber hasn't even done anything yet in playoffs.
Terrible. All right. Hey, let's take a quick break. And then hockey, the puck drops. I know it dropped over the weekend, but full slate of games starting tonight. Here's our Stanley Cup picks after this break.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing?
your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, here we go. Stanley Cup odds right here on Caesars. Colorado 4-1, Toronto 9-1, Carolina 10-1, the Rangers 10-1, Lightning 12-1, and also 12-1. My pick, the Edmonton Oilers. I really think they might have been the second best team. This spaghetti here, he doesn't want to hear this. They might have been the second best team in the NHL last year. And I feel like I know they have the high flying, high power offensive, you know, output, which is not conducive to playoff style, but I think they're back. They really just slugged it out with the wrong team in Colorado. You know, they did well against Calgary, and they're going to advance far this year. McDavid, obviously, Draisaitl, another 50-goal scoring year. And then they did a nice thing. They signed Evander Kane, 4-year deal for Kulak. They're going to be good. And their goalie situation is as good as it's been in years. They got the local kid, Stuart Skinner, is backing up. You got the Mike Smiths of the world out of there. Jack Campbell should do a good enough job in the net. Nice 1-2 punch there for Edmonton, 12-1 to win the cup. Harry, what are you going with?
I'm kind of being boring here, but I think the Avalanche repeat at 4-1. They were basically flawless in their run to the cup last year, going 16-4 in the playoffs last year. Plenty of the high-flying offensive players and defensive players returned to this team. Mikko Rantanen led the team in scoring last year. He's an assist machine, as we noticed during the playoffs. Left-wingers Gabriel Landeskog and JT Comper are back, too. And, of course, Nate MacKinnon, 30-plus goals for the last five seasons. He's got 45 or more assists in five straight seasons. This Avs team still very much loaded. I'm going to take him at 4-1 to repeat.
That is boring, right? Right, Parley Kid? Boring pick.
I can't argue with
so
that.
They're so good.
I like to sit here and argue with that pick, but they were certainly dominant last year, so I couldn't really get too crazy on all Harry right. for that.
Who do you like?
Well, look, here's what I like here, and I've been really since the end of last year. Normally, Sal, in hockey, I like teams that kind of take steps, right, to the championship. Usually they break through, they win a round or two, then the next year a little further, then the next year a little further. That's why I'm taking the Florida Panthers, who have really been a total letdown in the playoffs the last few years. But, and I could be wrong because maybe I wasn't looking at it too closely, but this is a team, Sal, that has, I think, is projected – at least in terms of if you were betting the amount of points they were going to have, I think they're right behind the Avalanche in terms of points. Mm-hmm. But yet for Stanley Cup odds, they're like eighth, right, in the odds. So I think you're getting great value here with just from the value side of a team like the Panthers, who have slightly retooled because they moved their highest scoring player in Huberdeau to the Flames for a guy who I love and Matthew Tkachuk, who I think brings not only some skill, he's coming off a career year for himself at the age of 27. He's in the prime of his career. But I just think he brings a little bit more of an edge to his game as well that the Panthers might need. So they don't really lose the scoring, but they also get a little edge here. Their goaltending situation, they've had Bobrovsky is good, but they have a young kid named Spencer Knight, which I think he's going to overtake, and I think he's going to star this year, making this Panthers team even better. At 15-1, I'm taking a Panthers team that led the league in points last year. They just got to get it done in the playoffs, and I think they've added a little grit. Let's take the Florida Panthers at 15-1.
All right, I don't want to cause any family disturbance here, but Mikey Meatballs, didn't you say on Extra Points the Panthers might not make the playoffs?
No, that was the Hurricanes.
Oh, that's a different team? Okay.
They're both Florida? They seem like the same team when they get to the playoffs.
The same team. It's the same team.
Yes.
There you go. All right. Yeah. Mikey, you and Brother Bry, I think both have the Flames. Bry,
yeah, 15 I can keep to this, 1.
Lots of nice
I'll keep this quick. I'll let Michael speak to this more if Michael does like them. But yeah, I like them at 15 to 1. It's funny that Darren likes the Panthers too because of the trade that they made.
The trade, yeah.
But you know what? You know, I will say I kind of like the Flames last year too. And while they won the Pacific pretty easily and they had 111 points, you would say the season was a disappointment because there were expectations. Like if anybody could beat the Abs, it was maybe the Flames last year. But they, what the hell happened in that Oilers series, right? In terms
that was
of
a
like,
fun one.
I mean, super fun, but it was like a guy like Markstrom, who is great during the regular season. I mean, just the goalie situation was terrible there in the playoffs. But when you look back at their numbers, you're like, all right, this was a team. They were second in the league in point differential last year. I think they were plus 85. I do like the Huberto deal for them a little bit better. I think it gives them a little bit of variety to their offense. They might, maybe they take away from some overall scoring there on the trade, but I like the deal for them. But yeah, I thought at 15 to 1, although the West has gotten a little bit trickier to predict because there are some good teams there. It used to seem a little bit easier with the West. Now it's even harder. But I thought at 15 to 1, those were good odds.
All right. Meatballs, you agree, right?
I definitely agree there. I actually think the Flames, they also got better from their trade that they made with the Panthers. Yeah, I think this is a better team that they're bringing out than last year. Sutter's a great coach. 30 to 1 to win the Jack Adams, by the way. That is an interesting bet. But I do think they added Nazem Kadri. He's a winning type player. Mackenzie Weegar, they locked up, who's a very good defensive player. Yeah. So I think, you know, with these few additions, I think this will fit the style that Sutter wants to play a little bit better than Gaudreau and Tkachuk did. So I do like Brian's pick there.
All right, let's move on to the Hart Trophy. Basically, the MVP. It is the MVP of the league. Connor McDavid favored at plus 280. Austin Matthews 4 to 1. Leon Draisaitl 10 to 1. Cal Makar 12 to 1. MacKinnon 15, and so on and so forth. Last year, I had McDavid and Matthews 1. Now I'm taking Matthews, so you can be sure that McDavid's the favorite is going to win. But Matthews had 60 goals last year, 46 assists. Right over that 100-point plateau. He's 24 years old. I don't think it would surprise anyone if he had 60 again this year. He does have – this is trouble, though. To repeat as a Hart Trophy winner, post-60-goal campaigns, Pavel Bure was the last to do it in 1993, 94, 92, 93. But they do focus on large market teams. I think Austin Matthews – could be a good pick, good value. I think it's a coin flip between him and McDavid. That's why I like it at 4 to 1. Harry, you're going Makar 12 to 1.
I am. I think that's pretty good value. Just 23 years old. One of the best offensive defensemen in the NHL. He might be number one. I mean, he had 86 points last season, led the Avs in power play assists. He really stepped up his game during the playoffs last season, led Colorado in assists and points. He had 29 total points in 20 games in the playoffs last year. And MacKinnon didn't play, missed a chunk of games last year, and he's coming into the season too. Nate MacKinnon coming in on the Avalanche a little banged up too. So I'm going to take Makar, who's just fantastic defenseman and obviously on offense as well. 12 to 1, I think that's really good value.
All right, Bri, right around the same odds, 15 to 1, Kirill Kaprizov, right?
Yeah, I was looking at Kaprizov at 15 to 1. I do like Harry's pick. I'm a little disappointed in Harry taking Makar because I kind of wanted to take him. And I thought he was going to take his boy Draisaitl, which he failed to do there.
Yeah, what?
Come on, Harry. Usually you stick kinda with weak. These guys. Weak.
Well, there. I went with the Avalanche to win it. I got to take Makar. I don't know.
Well, it's funny. Yeah.
Well, you had Carr to throw an interception, but the Raiders to win. So you could go against whatever.
That we have none of us on our picks. None of us have gone 4-0. I needed an interception to go 4-0.
I've
gone 3-1 a couple of times.
You needed it. Yeah. But I will say, for the Hart Trophy, you don't necessarily have to be the best team. Even Matthews last year, I think, you know, they finished second behind Matthews. You don't have to be. I mean, you kind of have to make the playoffs, it seems like. But Kaprizov.
It says 12 of the 16 Hart Trophy winners have played in the East in the post-lockout era. Mm. So that's interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Kaprizov at 15 to 1. When you look at his numbers, the guy was dominant at the end of the last year. He helped the Wild get to 113 points, which actually I didn't even realize. I had to go back. I'm like, wow, I can't believe they actually had 113 points. But they went, they finished crazy down the stretch. They were 19-2-3 in their last 24 games. And a lot of that had to do with Kiprizov, who went on some crazy goal streaks. But he did finish the season with 47 goals and 108 points in only his second season. This is just his third, so his numbers should continue to go up. He was fantastic in the first round of the playoffs against the Blues last year, too. So he finished seventh last year in the Hart. You know, if, I think, you know, I think he's a guy who's going to continue to finish in the top five. So at 15-1, I like it.
All right. Pauly Kid taking a big swing, big slap shot here.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, well, I talked about the Florida Panthers. I like the trade they made and Matthew Tkachuk. I misspoke too. So I was 20, going to be 25 this year, not 27. Coming off just an unbelievable year, we recorded 104 points, 42 goals, 62 assists, a plus minus of 57 on the plus side. Absolutely phenomenal. Entering the prime of his career. And guess where, Harry? Guess where he was born, Harry?
Syracuse.
No, Scottsdale, Arizona. Scotts, another Scottsdale. The only thing that could ruin this kid is if Harry gets his stink on him. That is it.
Stay away, Harry.
This kid is riding high. I can't wait to see him play this year for this team. Like I said, he's coming off just a career year, by far a career year, even though he had some years with Calgary with almost a point a game, 77 points, or but 104 last year, and just was just a really valuable guy on both sides of the ice there. So let's ride with him at 35-1. I think he might be on the best team in hockey. So, and if he can kind of jumpstart that team, give him a little different type of play and type of style, I think people will take notice. So let's I'm going to be rooting for him.
Meatballs, what's your pick for Hart Trophy?
I like Huberdeau at 20-1 for the Flames. So I'm pretty much the opposite of Parley Kid right there.
Wow. I like it. All right. I like it too. I mean, Huberdeau it's great to see that type of trade though, right? Like two like really good players swap for each other, so maybe switch their teams up a little bit. Like I liked it a lot.
Yeah. All right. Let's do team points over unders here. I'm going Lightning under 84.5. I just think these older teams, sometimes they slow down, they hit a wall, and I'm not even saying they won't make the playoffs, but the third oldest team in the league. I know it, Stamkos, Hedman, you know, Kucherov, when you get them in the playoffs, that's kind of the group you want.
104.5, right, Sal?
Is that 104.5? Yeah, sorry, okay. But I say 84.5, yeah, you'd have to go over. But 104.5, not asking them to do much worse than last year.
I like it.
They lost Palat, they lost McDonough, who was traded to Nashville. They lose their assistant coach. I'm going under just by the fact that they have to slow down. I have a similar pick in my miscellaneous prop. But Harry, what are you going for over under?
I'm
going
to go the Columbus Blue Jackets over 82.5 points. They had 81 last season. They've had 81 or more in five straight seasons. And those years were without a setup man, a playmaker like Johnny Gaudreau, who they got from Calgary in the offseason. Gaudreau, 115 points last year for the Flames. I think, like I said, you got to get to 83 points here, 81 the last 5 years or more. I think he's good for at least 5 points in the differential here. He's a game changer, and I think they get about 86, and it goes over 82.5.
All right. Parlay Kid, Kraken. You're picking on the Kraken. It's only the second year, right?
Yeah, well, that's why. Well, Sal, I like what you're saying about the Lightning, Sal. I do.
Yeah.
I just think after the deep playoff runs, this team that's pretty much a veteran team's got to be getting
down,
a little tired, at least when it comes to the regular season. You know, their goal might just be, hey, let's get into the playoffs. Let's not worry about where we're going to get seated or anything like that. I like that. And I do like Harry's. I think that's a good pick, too. I'm taking the Kraken under 79.5 points, Sal. 60 points last year. I don't see where they're going to make up 20 points in a year where maybe they've gotten a little bit better, but you also lose that edge of like being that fun, exciting, like expansion team where people rallied. It was exciting for the first year. And now you kind of step back because, you know, everybody thought, you know, with the Vegas Knights, they came right in and was so good right away. That didn't happen for the Kraken year one. I don't think they're going to be good enough. They haven't made the moves necessary yet to jump this team to 20 extra points. People, when you play the Kraken, this is a game where the opponents go, this is like a game we have to have. We have to have. I was going to certainly take the Coyotes here too, possibly because they're playing in front of 3,000 fans at home or whatever they are playing against at a college arena.
Well, but, I mean, they're going through the same thing, except they're not as talented as the Islanders were last year. And the Islanders had to play, what, 13, the first 13 on the road?
Yeah.
That really, that is tough to overcome.
It's going to be interesting, though, because I also think they might rally around that, right? Like, there's this weird environment they're playing in, and I don't know. I could see that maybe happening. So that's why I'm going Kraken under 79.5 points. Ended with 60 last year. I don't see where they're making up 20 points.
There you go. And Brian, you don't have to do this.
Yes, I agree. It was brutal, especially down the stretch last year. Yep.
Brian is going Rangers over 100. Is it 100 even?
I know. That's what I was. I thought they were 100 last night, but hold on.
Did it change? I think you might be right. Let's see.
I thought it was 100. We'll get it. I was surprised it wasn't 100.5. Yeah, it's 100. Yeah. It's 100.
Wow.
Exactly.
Actually 100 on Caesars.
It's weird to see that. But 100 to me seems really low for the Rangers. Look, I hate the Rangers. I thought of them originally for the Stanley Cup too, but I couldn't, you know, I just couldn't do that. To me, the Rangers are going to be a top team in the East for years to come still. Maybe with Shesterkin, can't be as good as last year, but he's still going to be a top two or three goalie. The Rangers, I know, lost a few key pieces to the playoff mix, but they just have such a good mix of youth and veterans on this team. And then some of their young players are just going to break out and only get better. I think this is a team for the next few years who approaches 110 to 115 points every year. I just thought 100 was low for the Rangers.
Yeah, this is like when the Chiefs win 13 games and they're over under the next year is like 10.5 or 11. Yeah. Like, what? What do we? Yeah,
it's a good group. It's a good group. I mean, I'll be rooting for them again and, you know, rooting against them all the time. But I'm definitely going to bet this, though.
Well, speaking of rooting against, I have Damashek comes on extra points and picks the Penguins to win the cup. Now, you might say, oh, that's a homer pick, but he doesn't usually do this. He never really usually does this with his own team. He's intent. Oh, Chris Letang and Malkin and Ricard Raquel. They brought them all back. I told them this should be an old timers day reunion. Don't sign these guys to more bigger deals. I don't like it at all. I know they won the EA Sports 2023 Stanley Cup, but I am taking Penguins no playoffs 3-1. That's a fun one to root for. Every year is a big team that kind of gets ousted, right? Islanders last year didn't really make a lot of sense. They were out. Penguins, another one. Spaghetti agreed with me. That's my miscellaneous prop. Penguins, no playoffs, 3-1. Harry, what do you like?
I'm going to take the Flyers at 10-1 for the lowest regular season team points. Arizona's the favorite. Parlay could mention at +250, but the Flyers at 10-1. They signed no one of real interest in the offseason. They did try for Johnny Gaudreau, who's from the area. That didn't happen. They still have numerous injuries coming into the season. Finished last in the Metropolitan Division last year and had the least amount of goals scored in the Eastern Conference. Flyers 10-1, pretty good odds for lowest regular season team points.
All right, Parley Kid, lots of Ovechkin bets out there, right? Hold on. There was it's career milestone. You could bet what period he's going to score his 800th goal in.
I mean, that's bet crazy.
The type of goal, full strength, power wild. Play. Yeah. What team do it against? Will it be an empty netter? Is 8-1? That's fun, but you're just going straight up 44.5.
Look, he's sitting at under. I'm taking under. He's at 780, by the way. He's 20 goals away from 800. He's going to get that this year, but I'm going to take under 44.5 goals for Ovechkin. So we've talked about this before, hitting these unders in all these sports. I know he's coming off a 50 goal season, but it's hard to believe. I'm going to say only, but for hockey, it's old. But he's turning 37 this month. I feel like he should be turning 47 this month. Feels like he's been around forever. Great player here, but you know, really one injury happens here during the year as an older player who still plays like a physical brand of hockey. and he doesn't go over here. So like we say in all these type of prop bets, probably take the unders in a lot of them, especially for a guy who's turning 37 now during the season. 44, 45 goals. He'd have to get 45. That's a lot to ask of a 37-year-old, no matter what. That's a lot. So I'm taking the under.
Should I do this? I mean, it's the same reasoning, Parley Kid. Go the under and all these goal scorers for the injuries and everything else. Everybody bets the over, so those numbers are juiced.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't touch Edmonton, guys, but I'd probably go under everybody else.
You got to do them all. You got to do everybody. You got to bet Derrick Henry under if you want to. You know, it's the same equation. I think they offer like about 15, I'm seeing here on Caesars. I mean, why not? I'm doing
you
it.
You should do it. Yes, you got to do it. No, well,
Mark Stone under 20.5. Again, what the hell do I care? That's what I'm doing.
You gotta fund, you know, the funder. We said you gotta
funder.
There
we go.
You gotta give me some money.
Get it going. Bry, you like what do you like for Vezina?
Little bit of a homer pick here, but I'm sure Mikey Meatballs likes this one a lot.
Love this one.
Parley Kid probably does too, but I'm gonna go Ilya Sorokin on the Islanders at 10-1 for the Vezina trophy. Now look. Shesterkin phenomenal for the Rangers last season, but anyone who watched the Islanders last year, if you watched the Islanders a lot last year, you would know that Sorokin was almost as good, right? Just a great physical, big goalie. Considering everything the Islanders went through last year, right? And still finished with phenomenal numbers. Who's second in the league in save percentage, second in shutouts. Now, maybe you could say that part of stuff. Maybe part of that was Trotz's style, maybe a little bit. But this guy is legit. I'd like to see what the real season, last year you toss up because, you know, you start on the road for 14 straight games, COVID stuff all over the Islanders. But I'd love to see what he does this season for them. But at 10-1, he too is a top two or three goalie in the league. So I love those odds.
There you go. Yep. All right, Meatballs, give us a miscellaneous prop or over-under team wins or something like that. What do you like? Anything stick out?
I do like Harry's pick a lot for the Blue Jackets to go over for points. And I do like Patrick Laine of the Blue Jackets to go over 33.5 goals. And I do think it's interesting for him. Rocker Richard for him is 37-1. I do think that's a possibility for him.
All right.
I do like the Senators to go over for their points. And then I do like Matt Beniers to win the Calder at 4-1.
Look at this. He's got it all laid out. He's got it all.
Nice
all
job.
There you go.
Put on those.
Mikey Meatballs will make you money on the ice. There you go. All right. Hockey's back. Basketball right around the corner. That's how you know when Ben Simmons misses an open 14-footer doesn't even hit the rim. That's how you know we're close.
How good was that video? My God.
That and Draymond Green beating up teammates. We're back. Basketball's back. Hockey's back. The Phillies lead 6-1 in the fifth. I can't believe they continued with this baseball nonsense after the Mets were eliminated, but whatever. We got football. We will be back on Thursday previewing the Thursday night game. That'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Mikey Meatballs and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. Na 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 na